Hi, welcome to the Getting Started as an Entrepreneur class. I'm happy to introduce Marty Ozinga. Thank you very much for joining us here today in studio. It's a pleasure to have you.
Happy to be here.
Very good, very good. So, Marty is an entrepreneur. Started out, you want to give a little background about who you are, where you came from, and what you got going on.
I think I had my first little business experience when I was about 12 years old cutting lawns around the neighborhood.
Okay.
Had a half a dozen jobs and wanted to be like my father, who was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Grow up to be like him and have a business. And eventually had an opportunity to take over the family business. And upon graduating from college, I spent 40 years growing and building the family ready-mix concrete business. And we have now become the largest private family-owned ready-mix concrete company in the United States.
Well done. Well done.
So a lot of success in that regard, and then a lot of small startup businesses on the periphery of that. Continue to operate into the fourth generation. My sons have all now taken over the business, and they're following in my footsteps like I did my father.
Very good.
And this year we're celebrating our 90th year in business.
Congratulations.
Started by my grandfather years and years ago.
That's a huge accomplishment. You can see that Marty and his family have a true entrepreneurial spirit, vibrant. Can you describe some of the kind of growth statistics that you've incurred, especially I think we were talking earlier about the number of people that you employ?
Yeah, my grandfather started with a horse and wagon in 1928.
Wow.
And of course,
mixing concrete out of horse and wagon?
No, delivering coal.
I see.
And his sons worked for him, and following World War II, the coal started to die out as a home heating fuel, and they got into the building material supply business. And in 1952, I think they introduced ready-mix concrete to their customers, which is a much more efficient way of making concrete than mixing it by hand on job sites. I grew up in the neighborhood, hung around a lot. It's all I really wanted to do when I grew up is work in the family concrete business. So when I graduated from school with a degree in psychology, I was given the opportunity to take over the family business in 1973. At that time, we had 40 concrete trucks and about 80 employees altogether. A very nice, good-sized business. Good name, good reputation, good, solid financial grounding. But I immediately started to grow it. And now we operate over 1,000 trucks and employ over 2,000 people across Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
When you took over in 73, how many employees did you have at that time?
About 80.
Oh, wow. So now you're sitting around 2,000.
Yeah.
That's impressive growth numbers.
So yeah, we've had steady growth all that time, and of course our business is very sensitive to the ups and downs
sure.
of the economy. So we go up and then we plateau, and then we wait for the economy to improve, and then we get another chance to grow. So now my six sons are running the business, and there's six times the amount of energy and creativity being applied. So we're growing faster now than we ever have.
Innovation, applying the innovative
yep.
skills
yep.
of the next generation who yep. may sometimes be able to think outside the box of
yep.
the normal status quo operation
yep.
and then expand operations, which is nice.
That's right. And 4 or 5 years ago, I resigned as president and let them take over.
Nice.
Not because I wasn't interested, but it's basically their turn. They're
sure.
they're in their mid-30s, early 40s, all good business guys with experience. So they shouldn't have to wait till they're 50 or 60 years old and wonder when their father's going to get out of the way. So I stepped aside, and they picked up the ball and are running with it faster than ever.
Very good. Now, I know another topic that we kind of discussed was your bivocational ministry perspective. And can you kind of take Paul's model and applied it to your life? Can you kind of expand on that and your vision on the bivocational ministry?
Yeah, it's on two levels. One, as a Christian, we're called to reflect the love of Jesus to the world around us, meaning reach out to people and care for people and serve people, just as Christ did when he was here. But also an understanding that the work that he's given us to do is a call of God, mm-hmm. and that the work itself, if understood properly, is a ministry. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, we pursue our work, first of all, to the honor and glory of God, and secondly, to serve the crown of his creation, which is our fellow man. So if that's a business, businesses serve customers, obviously, but also employees and the communities in which they exist. If you're an employee and you drive a truck or you work as an accountant, your ministry, in addition to the reflecting Jesus' love to those around you and doing it that way, you're also, by doing it to the best of your ability and to doing it with integrity and honesty, you're honoring and glorifying God. And he has gifted you, skilled you, and put you in that position as part of his overall scheme of redemption in the world. And so we are definitely playing a role that God has created us for and put us to do. So
well, thank God for people like Marty that are visionaries and understand what it means to take back the roots of the modern, the initial Christian church through the bivocational ministry and apply those same principles and strategies to today and how you've grown your business. Can you give maybe like a particular example maybe of how you've been a bivocational minister in your workplace or through the growth of your business? How have you been able to directly minister to people?
Well, as we do our work in the context of our business, to do so to the honor and glory of God means to do our best, but do it in a way that God has instructed us. That involves being somewhat selfless, not being focused on what I get out of it, but more on how others benefit, and to respect my coworkers, to encourage my coworkers, to provide resources for my coworkers, to provide leadership in the sense that not only this is the work we're going to do, but this is why we're going to do it. And the why is all tied up in how God has created us and what God's purpose is in our lives. Now, as we go through the process of our daily work, there's all kinds of biblical and educational, theological learning that takes place. But it's in the context of our daily work, not in the context of sitting in a church listening to a sermon.
That's right. Now, do you feel that you are more of like the facilitator of God's plans? You know, do you feel like you're channeling God, you know, God's will through you, and you're able to lay that out to the people that you impact daily?
Well, absolutely, because to serve people, you have to be a servant.
That's right.
And the servant attitude and the servant perspective entirely comes from God. Mm-hmm. And the biggest example of all of that, of course, is Jesus himself.
That's right.
The King of Heaven, the King of the Universe, comes to the earth to become a human being and learn carpentry.
Right.
And then to associate with fishermen.
So he's the original bivocational minister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all, the bottom line is all about serving, and the serving is a result of God's love. God's love for us.
That's right.
And then God's love in us that reaches out to others.
So what I found in my own experience, maybe you have too, is that when you begin to serve and become selfless, God's love inside of you just multiplies.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Bible's full of paradoxes, and one of them, for those of us who have sort of taken a leap of faith by applying this paradox, when God says, give and you will receive, as human beings you say, no, wait a minute, if you give something away, you have less of it.
Sure.
That's a human characteristic. Mm-hmm. But the divine direction is give and you'll receive, meaning give what you have to someone and you'll be blessed for it.
Absolutely.
In fact, you'll be better off for it. And that's been my experience, and I know it's the experience of everyone who really tries to follow through and apply what the Bible talks about.
I know many of you are generous givers to CLI. So as we go through this particular topic, I feel like the give and receive type thing is not necessarily received back in material value, but the internal blessing and joy that you receive, I think, is a top of anything that you can receive materially, this peace.
Yep.
And joy and love.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And we literally are blessed to live a life where we lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then it has nothing to do with material wealth. It has everything to do with mental, spiritual, physical, and an eternal perspective that shapes how we understand our circumstances, all supported by the love of God for us and the fact that He knows us individually.
Amen. That is so good. Thank God that He cares for us and He still intervenes, and that He's omnipresent, omnipotent, that He's,
yep,
ready to do His work and His will any time that He finds somebody faithful that's willing to love Him.
Yeah, and I testify to that. I mean, this has been my experience. It's not just theory, it's real life.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. And I found in my entrepreneurial journey as well, that the most rewarding and satisfying things that have come into my life is the relationships with people,
mm-hmm,
that I've formed, and to see how they've been impacted in a positive manner through the Spirit of Christ, and being able to project that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. It is, as I look at it, material possessions are at the best a very temporary reward, a very temporary benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are in relationship to others, you are in relationship with an eternal soul. Every person that you meet is here for eternity.
That's right.
And so the relationships that are developed and the benefits from those relationships accrue to not only you, but also to the other person, and have an eternal significance.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more valuable because of the eternal aspect of it.
Well, this life is fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we have possessed on this earth, nothing's coming with us.
Well, and I'm getting old, so
it's going faster, mature, mature, right?
It's going faster and faster as,
yeah,
time goes on.
Yeah.
And the idea of being able to take anything with is laughable.
Sure.
Now, at this point, so.
Well, good. I think that we have to, as servants of Christ and servants of each other, that we have always got to keep Christ in the center of everything that we do. And my experience has been, anytime that you step out of bounds of that, you know, and you try to impose your will, things just never work out.
No, that's correct. And because Jesus loves us so much, He creates circumstances that sort of stop us in our tracks once in a while, mm-hmm. to reflect on what we're saying, doing, and what we're thinking, and that brings us back to Him and why we exist and what our eternal purpose really is.
And, you know, I think it's so important to entrepreneurs or anybody that is a Christian, to, before you set out your goals and objectives, would you agree that you need to find your identity in Him first?
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, you're wandering.
Yeah.
You're kind of a lost guy that is listening to this advice and then that advice. And there's all kinds of people and all kinds of instruction and how to achieve success and how to achieve happiness and contentment. But there's really only one source, mm-hmm. For that. It comes from God. It's in His Word. And that's the place to go to find your foundation and your direction.
And He gives all things in abundance at the right time, right? Due time, wait on God.
He gives what is needed and what is profitable and beneficial for you at that point in time according to His plan.
So can you speak on stewardship a little bit? I know we'll touch on stewardship in another segment, but you know, just taking that idea and a small touch on stewardship and how we should steward some of that stuff.
Okay, well, a lot of people think, well, there's a giving principle, I've got a tithe, I should give some money back to God for His purposes, but the real fact of the matter is everything belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I have, everything you have, everything we all have, every breath we take.
That's right.
The idea that we owe it to God is a sense that it already belongs to Him.
That's it.
In fact, what we owe is to be responsible stewards of the gifts and opportunities and privileges that He gives us. And in that sense, our whole life, our whole being, and I'm not talking about giving away all of our accumulation, mm-hmm. all of our wealth. Those are blessings from God as well.
Absolutely.
But to use it responsibly, to, again, honor and glorify Him, to build His kingdom, to help others, all of these sorts of things are a privilege, not an obligation, or some sort of a payback that we have to give. It's a honor and a privilege to be blessed to the point where we can give to others and help others with what we've been given.
Well, amen. Look, you know, Marty has got a wealth of information, a wealth of experience to share with us and with you over the course of these next 11 or 12 videos. So we look forward to letting you plug in with Marty a little bit as he takes us through his journey, where he's been an incredible entrepreneur, a great steward of the gifts that God has given him, and somebody that we can really benefit from his knowledge and just spending time with him. So this will wrap up our first segment. You know, Marty, thanks again for being here, and we'll see you guys soon. So check us out.